that much. I know I like rosés in the summer. That's nice. And I know I like red wine. And I know I like them a little spicy. Well, now I've got an easy way to get wines that I love. This podcast sponsored by Naked Wines. And Naked Wine is a wine club that directly connects you with the world's best independent winemakers, and you can get world-class wine delivered straight to your door. And if you use our code MAJORITY for the code and the password at nakedwines.com, you will get 6 bottles for just $39.99. These wines have been approved by my sister, who, like I say, is a massive wine snob. I mean, in a good way, Julie, if you're listening. How do they do it? Naked Wine brings you amazing wine straight from the winery at up to 60% less than you would pay in a store. And they do this because there is a tremendous amount of markup by the time a wine leaves a vineyard to your store or restaurant, wherever it is. And they do it by cutting out the extra costs like middleman markups and whatnot. And they pass the savings on to you without skimping on quality. Naked Wines has been around for over 15 years. They back over 90 independent winemakers around the world to make the wine you love to drink. Now's the time to join a Naked Wines community. Head to nakedwines.com/majority and click enter voucher. Put in our code majority for both the code and the password, and you'll get 6 bottles of wine for just $39.99 with shipping included. That's $100 off your first 6 bottles at nakedwines.com/majority. Use the code and password majority for 6 bottles of wine for $39.99. And also sponsoring the program today, my favorite sponsor, with all due respect to the other sponsors, sunsetlakesabade.com. Use the code LEFTISBEST. You get 20% off. You get 20% off some of their great new lifted tea. We are massive fans here. Brian's shaking his head. His girlfriend now is like living off of those teas.
You thought she was excited I got a job.
Exactly.
Last month.
But they have all sorts of great Sabade products. That lifted tea comes with a little bit of THC as well. They have gummies with THC, a tiny bit. But then they have Sabade smokables. They have tinctures that are specific to help you sleep, tinctures for your pets if they're a little bit jumpy. They have salves that saved me over my break. I got a bunch of eczema here. I mean, the salve is actually for your muscles, but I use it off-label, and it really helps with my eczema. They've also got lotions. And they've got Sabade coffee and Sabade fudge, all sorts of great products, all third-party tested, all with a document as to exactly what's in all of their products, different variations of Sabade and Sabaan and whatnot. And they have great farming practices, no pesticides. They do integrated pest management. They practice regenerative farming, so they take care of the land. They got great business practices, $20 minimum wage, mostly employee-owned. And they are huge movement partners. They have donated tens of thousands of dollars to things like strike relief funds and carceral reform and refugee resettlement, Planned Parenthood, Give Directly. Just an all-around great company, great products, lots of integrity, and fun at a time where relaxation and fun is a little bit hard to come by. SunsetLakeSabade.com. Use the code LEFTISBEST. You'll get 20% off. And now time for the show.
The Majority Report with Sam Cedar, where every day's casual Friday. That means Monday is Casual Monday, Tuesday, Casual Tuesday, Wednesday, Casual Hump Day, Thursday, Casual Thurs, that's what we call it, and Friday, Casual Shabbat. The Majority Report with Sam Cedar.
It is Friday. September 5th, 2025. My name is Sam Cedar. This is the five-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live steps from the industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal in the heartland of America, downtown Brooklyn, USA. On the program today, it's Casual Friday. Joining us, Heather Digby Parton, the contributing writer to Salon.com and the proprietor of the Uber blog, Hullabaloo. Also on the program today, the Trump slump hits the job market and hard. The economy adds just 22,000 jobs. We need something like 170,000 plus to keep up with people entering the workforce. It gets worse when you dig into it. Last month's numbers were also revised down. Meanwhile, Trump to change the name of the Department of Defense to the Department of War as he claims unilateral power to summarily execute people he thinks are drug dealers. ICE invades a Hyundai EV plant and arrests Koreans working there. Unclear if they think these people are undocumented. New Times report, Trump sent special ops in 2019 into North Korea, where a failed mission led to the killing of North Korean civilians. DOJ acting deputy chief caught on camera, a secret mic, I should say, saying they will redact every Republican name from the Epstein client list once they decide to release it.
Maybe just leave one or two on there just to make it look convincing.
Yeah. Hochul to authorize New York pharmacists to provide COVID boosters to all who want it. Contrary to RFK's edict from the CDC. U.S. imposes sanctions on Palestinians who sought Israel war crime investigation. New report. New York City Mayor Adams being offered ambassadorship to Saudi Arabia in an effort to clear the field by Donald Trump for Andrew Cuomo. And this, as Zohran Mamdani reaches the max fundraising cap and tells his donors, stop. Trump's military invasion of California ends up costing taxpayers $120 million as Chicago announces record low violent crime rate. Lowest murder rate since 1965 over the summer. All this and more on today's Majority Report. Emma is out today. I just laughed because I just saw an IM to say back to hear how everything is worse today. Love you, Sam. The news is bleak, folks, and it's going to be that way for a while. But we're, you know, it's Friday, trying to have a little bit of fun. I took some inspiration. I have to say, I can't. I think it was Mamdani's interview with.
I've had it.
Yes. Where he was talking about the scavenger hunt and saying, like, you know, we got to have some fun, too, which is I'm not going to lie. It's hard to do in the face of a lot of the horrors that are going on around the world. But you need to have a little bit of fun so that you maintain the energy for pushing for some justice and positive change. And otherwise, you're just going to go batty. Did I mention
you
Emma?
You might still go batty.
I was just about to say, like, did I mention Emma's out today? And I can't remember anything. We've been told for a while from economists that it's going to take a while to start to see the job losses and the hit the economy is going to take and the inflation as the tariffs sort of work their way through the system. This past month, we got data, I think it was 2 days ago, saying that our imports and exports were up a little bit. And that suggests that the stuff that U.S. Retailers, wholesalers had bought, importers essentially, had bought in the early months of the Trump administration in anticipation of a possible tariff regime and had been stored in warehouses has started to run out. And now they're having to import more stuff. And so we're going to see the impact on inflation, I'm convinced, over the next couple of weeks, next couple of months. And now we're also seeing the impact of the tariffs on job losses and even all the deportations. It's counterintuitive. The deportation regime has also inhibited hiring of native-born Americans because businesses can't operate, A, in many instances, because they've lost a significant amount of their trained workforce, whether it's construction or other services. They've also lost a considerable amount of their customer base in many instances. And so we're looking at all sorts of job losses. The youth unemployment is up, and black unemployment is up 7.5%. It's the highest since October of 2021. And it both shows that, you know, supposedly the immigration roundup is not going to help young people and black people in the workforce. But black people, job numbers, they tend to be sort of the canary in the coal mine, if you will. It's always black people, and I'm sure it's not because there's any systemic racism in this country or that black people are in any way structurally disadvantaged in our workforce, but black people always tend to be on the front edge of job losses.
Repeat of the financial crisis.
Yeah, exactly. And here is Fox Business News actually having to admit that. Now, remember, the head of the Bureau of Labor Statistics was fired because of the last month's job numbers. So these are the good ones. Good.
Go through them, Lauren.
Yep, I sure do. 22,000 jobs added in the month of August. That was much less than the expectation of 75,000, guys. The July number was revised. I will get to revisions in a moment. Unemployment rate
revised
coming
down
as expected, 4.3%. So that would be higher than July's 4.2%. Again, 22,000 jobs added in August. Let me get you the revisions because this is what everybody is focused on. For June and July together, combined 21,000 jobs lower than previously reported. I'll categorize that now. So you see for June, it was revised down by 27,000, getting you to negative 13,000. And the change for July up by 6,000, getting you to 79,000.
Negative jobs. Over the last 3 months, job growth has averaged 29,000. Again, way, way below what you need to keep up just with population. And outside of healthcare, all of these jobs have taken place in healthcare. Outside of healthcare, the economy has lost 26,000 jobs since May. Now, of course, healthcare is very much helped by tariffs because you get people who lose their businesses and then they get ill. And then there's people who get hired to take care of them. I'm being facetious, but we have an aging population. And so healthcare numbers are going to go up. The average hourly wage has increased 3.7% year over year. That's down from 4.0% rate in 2023 and 24. and it has grown just 3.5% if you annualize the last 3 months. The rate of wage growth for low-paid, non-supervisory restaurant workers has been just 3.2%, inflation rising more rapidly than that. Unemployment rate for black teens, I said black people in general, 7.5%, rose 0.3% to 7.5%. The unemployment rate for black teens rose to 24.8%. It's the highest since May of 2020. May of 2020, well, we were locked down.
Remember that?
Job leavers were only 10.7% of the unemployed in August. And that's compared to 13.2% in 2018 and 2019 when the unemployment rate was comparable. These numbers are put together by Dean Baker. And so what that means is people are afraid. People have a sense that the job market is really soft and they're not going to willingly leave. The share of unemployed who have been unemployed for 27 weeks or more rose to 25.7%. That's the highest since February of 2022. Again, that's in the wake of COVID. The manufacturing sector, remember, this is a big thing of the tariffs. We're gonna build things in America again.
Look at this poster.
We just need time.
We just need time. 12,000 jobs lost in August. Auto manufacturing, 7,300 jobs lost in August. Jobs in auto manufacturing are down almost 23,000 over the last year. But things that we're building.
How many concentration camp guard jobs did we create, though?
That's coming in. We haven't seen those numbers yet, but we're building. Lost 7,000 construction jobs in August. And jobs in scientific research and development fell by 3,600 in August. Not that many, except for it tends to be research and development in science that we get innovations, et cetera, et cetera. We're not going to be in that business anymore. That number, I suspect, is going to go higher and higher, and it's going to be driven by voluntary job leaving, if not job losses, because people are going to go to different countries. The scientists are going to go where their skills are actually wanted and rewarded. So manufacturing loss, that's a function. Again, the tariffs were supposed to be geared towards that. Jobs for men that were going to come back once our manly men are making all the manufacturing again. Men have lost 56,000 jobs over the last 4 months. Women have gained 76% of the jobs in 2025. Compared to a regular 50%. That's probably my guess is that's a function of most of the job gains coming in healthcare. The native born unemployment rate is at the highest levels since the pandemic.
Somehow don't think Stephen Miller will stop using reason to hunt down every non-white person.
I suspect you're right. But what happens when you fire the head of the BLS so you can no longer pretend like these jobs numbers are rigged? And again, I'm going to trust that the numbers coming out here are not rigged just because there's a Trump crony in there now. Because, the idea of a limited hangout. Well, don't make the lie too big. But let's just assume these numbers are, in fact, accurate. The Trump people can't complain about it anymore because it's their people at the BLS. And they obviously know things are getting worse. So how do you respond? Well, it's sort of like they're getting religion in the sense that, like, your reward will come to you in the next life. And here's Howard Lutnick doing his version of that.
build that. I mean, think of the employment. You look at next year's employment, it is going to explode. All these factories we're building, all the plants that are coming into America. You know, you look at the unemployment rate numbers today, wait until a year from today. Wow, it will be amazing.
Well, let's talk about that. We do have a
that dude, you know, now people are like, how can he be so excited? How does he maintain that? Well, because his sons just made billions of dollars on having bought up all of these tariff refund financial instruments several months ago, betting that the tariffs were going to be found to be illegal.
Next year's going to look great for Lutniks.
Oh, this dude is like, fire me now. I've cashed in. He is so excited about next year. I can't even contain myself. I'm so excited about the next year. I can't wait.
Think about next year's employment. I'm thinking about this next month's rent. Buddy.
Incidentally, it's September.
Right, exactly.
So let's just give him a couple of months into next year. He's saying 6 months out. I mean, how many literally tens of hundreds of thousands of people are going to lose their jobs between now and his mystery time when we're going to get mystery explosive job growth
to make the robots that clean the robot
and the amazing
factories.
Thing is, like, if construction's down 7,000 people, like, where are these mystery jobs going to be created? ICE. And incidentally, we have yet to see all of those federal workers who took involuntary or voluntary, you know, so-called retirement. Those are all people who thought they could enter into the job force in another place. So those people are going to be, at one point, filing for unemployment. I suspect that's going to be sometime around the first quarter of next year. And now we're going to probably see the Fed raise rates. I mean, I should say drop rates to deal with this unemployment. And it just increases the chances of stagflation because our economic numbers are no better than the job numbers.
There'll be a little disturbance, but we're okay with that. It won't be much.
Don't worry. Lutnick says it's going to be great.
2026,
everybody.
Maybe 2027. We'll see how it looks, but one of those years is going to be great.
Next year, everybody's net worth will be up $5 billion.
So good. Heather Parton will be with us in just a moment. In the meantime, a couple words from our sponsors. Oh, I've gotten back into my Babbel because Saul is now taking Spanish in school. And I've told him we're going to learn together. And Babbel is a super easy way to learn a new language. It makes it incredibly convenient for you. When you're walking, the lessons are in 10-minute chunks. It just makes it much easier. And for those of us who are contemplating maybe a future that involves being in a different country, I would go to the English-speaking part of Canada or Mexico. So for me, it's Spanish. But you can start speaking a new language with confidence thanks to Babbel's conversation-based technique. Like I say, it very quickly teaches you useful words and phrases about things you actually talk about in the real world. And my plan is to do this when we go out to dinner with Saul. Go to places where I can speak Spanish so that he gets into it and sees that how cool it is. Because, you know, you take Spanish in junior high and you're like...
You need the practical application.
You need to see it in practice.
Yeah, as somebody who learned Spanish in North Dakota.
There are 200 language experts who handcraft Babbel's lessons. They are voiced by real native speakers. They're built with science-backed cognitive tools like spaced repetition and interactive features to fit any learning style. Staying motivated to learn a new language has never been easier because, like I say, it provides you real-time feedback. They give you, like, progress trackers to give a sense of, like, where you are. And you can get lessons like in 10, 12 minutes on the app. One study found that using Babbel for 15 hours is equivalent to a full semester at college. They have over 16 million subscriptions sold. They have 14 award-winning language courses. They're backed by a 20-day money-back guarantee. So get start talking with Babbel. I want you to join me in learning another language. So I'm teaming up with Babbel to give you 55% off subscriptions at babbel.com/majority. Get up to 55% at babbel.com/majority, spelled BABBEL.com/majority. That's BABBEL.com/majority. Rules and restrictions may apply. And we'll put the info on the podcast and YouTube description. Also, I'm about to do this again to get my fall going off well. About a year ago, I did the Prolon 5-day fasting mimicking diet. And it was pretty amazing. It sounds like it's incredibly difficult to do, but you can do it. And it's great for things like longevity. It's great for things like metabolic health. This 5-day fasting mimicking diet was developed at USC's Longevity Institute. It is backed by top U.S. medical centers. Prolon provides fat loss, metabolic reset, and helps your skin too, apparently. It is Prolon is a plant-based nutrition program. They have soups, snacks, beverages designed to nourish the body while keeping it in a fasting state, which by like day four starts to trigger cellular rejuvenation and renewal. You go past like the keto stage into another stage. They have a new generation that builds on the original Prolon, with 100% organic soups and teas, richer taste, and ready-to-eat meals. I did it. I thought I was going to feel wiped out. I actually felt energized. My sister did it. She loved it. She had the same reaction that I did. It really is about, I mean, for me, it's about longevity. I should be doing this on a regular basis, but I'm going to do it this fall. For a limited time, you can be first in line to experience the new next-gen savings. Prolon's offering you 15% off site-wide plus a $40 bonus gift when you subscribe to their 5-day nutrition program. Just visit prolonlife.com/majority. That's prolonlife.com/majority to claim your 15% discount and your bonus gift. prolonlife.com/majority. Head over to that website and read about this stuff. It's fascinating. And like I say, developed at USC's Longevity Institute. All right, quick break. When we come back, Heather Parton will be joining us. We are back, Sam Seder on the Majority Report. Emma Vigeland out today. It is a pleasure, as always, to welcome back to the program. Are you ready for some DVD? Yes, well done, Matt. Heather Parton, otherwise known as Digby, writer at Salon.com, proprietor of the Uber blog Hullabaloo. Heather, welcome. I feel like we start every one of our conversations or end them almost identically over the past, you know, a decent amount over the past 6, 7, 10 years. I don't know. But before we get on air, when we're in the sort of the green room, we're going over like the topics we were going to talk about. And I've got a list now of 15 top stories.
And that's just the highlights. So, I mean, there's so much more than that.
I honestly don't know where to start this week because there's been so much happening. But let's work backwards a little bit. Let's talk about this Venezuela thing, because, or I should say, you know, presumably Venezuelan. I mean, like, you know, we don't know much about the
whoever,
11 people
Venezuelans,
that we blew up in a boat. In the Caribbean, people who were, they were going to, I think it was Trinidad, was it? No real relationship to the United States whatsoever, as far as we know, and we decided to blow them up. I can't help but think, I mean, tell us, you know, what your thoughts on this, but I can't help but think that, like, this was Trump thought this was going to be a much bigger story. And it happened the day that you had Epstein survivors on Capitol Hill as they're pushing dramatically to keep the Republicans, you know, any two Republicans from signing on to this discharge petition. But tell us on both sides of that story.
OK, well, the Venezuela thing, I think people should start to pay attention to it, start reading up on it when it comes out. You know, it's just been sort of in the periphery for the last month or so that there's something going on down there. They deployed this rather large deployment of naval ships and all kinds of support to cruise just outside the Venezuelan waters. And this has been going on for the last few weeks. And they, you know, there's already a bounty on the president of Venezuela, Nicolas Maduro's head for $50 million. The United States has put up a bounty on him. Captured and potentially killed. And it's pretty clear there's something happening down there. Let's just put it that way. Well, this week it kind of it escalated and they decided to blow up this boat. I think you're right. I think a lot of it was that Trump wanted to create a big story here. And he is the one, according to Marco Rubio, who gave the order. He personally, they told him, they gave him the option of saying, well, we can just interdict this boat and, you know, do what is lawful and what is normally done in that situation. Usually it's the Coast Guard. It's not the U.S. Navy. But assuming that they would use the U.S. Navy to this, they would board the ship, check it out. If there's drugs on board, they arrest the people. They take them back and, you know, try them like, you know, like normal, like what you do with drug runners of any kind. Or they could blow the ship out of the water. Those were the two choices, and Trump decided to blow the ship out of the water. He was very proud and excited about that. He tweeted about it. He was, you know, this was really great. They even sent out a video of it so we could watch these people being murdered on the high seas. What this is really about, I think, and, you know, we'll see, I could be wrong here. Part of it is an escalation of this idea that these alleged gang members, we have no idea who these people really were. They could have been completely innocent people. We have no idea. And they're not offering any evidence of anything. But what I think this is happening is that I think that Trump is looking to provoke the Venezuelans into doing something against this big deployment that's sitting right outside their waters. And in fact, they did a flyover yesterday, the Venezuelan Air Force did, to give them the excuse to go in. I think this is regime change. I think that's what they're talking about. I think that's what they plan to do.
People forget that because the Democrats sort of participated in this, at least some of the Democratic leadership. But Trump, I think, had Guaido, Juan Guaido, who was the not the president elected by Venezuela, but the president, he sort of claimed the presidency in Venezuela, and had him, if I remember correctly, I think he was at a State of the Union address, like literally physically showed up there. And so this has been an ongoing bugaboo for Donald Trump. And of course, Marco Rubio also virulently
hardcore
against any type of social movement that would come to power in Venezuela.
That's right. And the thing is, I mean, Maduro's not a great guy. I'm not going to defend him. He's done a lot of things, authoritarian things. He's a, you know, kind of a lefty authoritarian in many ways. But he was democratically elected, although they say that he wasn't, and that, it, you know, he rigged the election. I mean, don't they all? And this has been a bugaboo. And there's one reason for it. Venezuela has a lot of oil. It is an oil country. It is the biggest supply of oil in South America. And Donald Trump has always believed, people will remember this, that he always thought that, you know, Iraq was a mistake, but if we went in, we should have at least kept the oil. He said it over and over and over again. So that you can see what the motives are for this. And it's also, and it's not just that. I mean, I think that's the ultimate goal, certainly on the part of Marco Rubio, who apparently is driving the bus on this one. Everything I read says that he's the guy who wanted to, that who pushed for this deployment down there, that he's the guy who's been out there. He gave a press conference after this event where they blew up the boat in Mexico City. That was just bone chilling. I mean, I couldn't believe it. It was like, you know, we're going to take them out and that's just it. You know, they want nothing else. We'll show them what's going to happen. I mean, he sounded like Sebastian Gorka. It was creepy. And he was very, very hostile and violent. And I think this is his plan. This is what he wants, to depose Nicolas Maduro. So, but there's also this new excuse. There's this whole legal framework they're trying to build. It's not really, I shouldn't call it a legal framework. They're basically saying the president has the authority to do whatever he wants. And we know that. He says that in every case. This is his new thing. There is no rule of law when it comes to the president. He has an article. I mean, Article 1.
Supreme Court may not disagree with him on that.
It doesn't seem like they are at least not adamantly opposed as yet. So it does look like this may be something they will grant him the right to do. Now, you know, look, you and I've been through a lot over the last 20 years. We watched what happened in Iraq. They lied us into that war. But they did go to Congress and they got that vote to do it. I mean, as horrifying as that whole thing was and the lies that went into it, you know, the Gulf of Tonkin incident in Vietnam, you know. But let me just point out, look at the results of those two things. Those were the two longest wars in American history. They were an absolute nightmare. They totally destroyed America's, you know, place as a, you know, a country with principles, at least, or that adhered to international principles. But in both those cases, the Johnson administration and the Bush administration, there was at least a sort of a fig leaf, one of those, you know, hypocrisy is the tribute vice pays to virtue kind of thing, where at least we'll try and create the illusion that there's a legal authority for doing what we're doing. And we'll do some kind of kabuki dance to pretend like we're doing that. Trump isn't even doing that. He's just saying, I have the authority. They asked Rubio and they asked Hegseth whether or not by what authority they murdered a bunch of people in the middle of the ocean, blew them up. And they just said the president has the authority. That's it. That's his authority. And they're doing this based on the Article 2 thing, which is going to come to the Supreme Court. There's going to be there's already a ton of litigation on that. But apparently the idea that Congress has anything to say about this is just out the window. They're not even bothering. They don't care. And neither does the Congress, by the way. The Congress is fine with it, too, as far as I can tell. No, but I'm not hearing anything. I mean, this one with the Venezuelan vote, I didn't hear any Democrats talking about this.
No.
Maybe I missed it, but I haven't heard anything. And it, I mean, there must have been somebody. I mean, if Rand Paul is the only one I've heard that came out and said, hey, you know, where's the authority to do this? You have to come to Congress before you start blowing people up. But I think that is really, I mean, it shocked the legal, you know, the people who study the law of war were stunned by this action, because it is clearly it's murder is what they did with impunity. And by the way, just one little thing. Rodrigo Duterte, who ran a drug war in the Philippines, where he rounded up drug users and drug, you know, runners in his country and killed them, was arrested last March and is now under indictment in The Hague for crimes against humanity for what he did. That is the only legal authorization that the Trump administration is claiming on this, that these are drug, you know, they're drug lords, and they have the right to take them out to protect the American people in Venezuelan waters, 1,000 miles from America. But apparently they're claiming. Yeah. Well, Trump's claim they were coming to America in a speedboat 1,000 miles away. Yeah, I mean, but whatever, you know, but they this is the only hint of legal authority that the Trump administration is claiming is that this is a, you know, they have attacked us under the Alien Enemies Act and some other, just basically Article 2, giving the commander in chief the ability to do whatever he wants, they say. But it's basically based on this drug war that Trump is claiming. And I'm just pointing out, Duterte is under indictment right now in The Hague. They arrested him. Interpol arrested Duterte last March on this very thing, that he had committed crimes against humanity. So just saying, I think that may be what we've done. And we'll see where that ends up. Everybody just start reading. When you see Venezuela pop up in the news, take a minute to just sort of catch up, because I think this story is going to potentially get very, very ugly.
I can't help but think, too, when you see these rogue actions, that one of the projects, and I know this is far afield, but so much of recent history just gets memory holed. Basically because, you know, I don't know, they're just too much information. But one of the projects that Obama had coming into office was to take the extrajudicial, extra-legal activities of the Bush administration and put them into a legal regime. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, when we had things like you can assassinate a U.S. citizen if they, you know, if a committee on Tuesdays decides it, then we did it. And it was all sort of like codified within at least executive administrative law, if not actually passed by the Congress. And, you know, these type of actions, if we do have an opportunity to vote Donald Trump out in 2028 and have the opportunity to elect someone else, this is something to watch for, because presidents don't give up power. And so once this is established, like this is a viable thing that the U.S. can really, there's no other way to describe it. I mean, it may not be arbitrary, but it is random. Blow up a boat full of people who have absolutely no relationship whatsoever to the United States. They pose no remote threat. They just in a boat in a place that has nothing to do with the United States, just anywhere. It's sort of extraordinary. Like, I wonder at what point we would have to do something like this. Like, could we blow up, I don't know, a cruise liner that is down in the Caribbean? We think there might be a drug dealer on there. Boom, we killed 200 people. I wonder if that's what it would take for, like, Congress to go like, hey, wait a second, you can't do that. I mean, it seems sort of crazy to me.
Well, it does. And like you say, this has been going on for a long time. I mean, there's nothing, it's the frog in boiling water thing, you know, which I know is apocryphal. Nobody needs to point that out. But the idea that over time, this has incrementally become more and more and more, with every successive executive branch has become, you know, they've assumed more and more power to do this sort of thing. And I think now, of course, Donald Trump is, you know, he's sui generis. He's a guy who, you know, I mean, he has no limits. Of course, he is going to take this to an entirely new level. But as with everything else, this has been in the works for a long time, this idea. And we know this because look at a guy like Marco Rubio. He comes out of the Republican establishment. He's not, you know, he's not didn't come out of the MAGA movement. He's been part of the Republican establishment, and he's the guy leading the charge on this. So, I mean, that tells you something, and it tells you something that nobody seems to have any, you know, real, you know, any kind of strong reaction to what to what's happened, other than legal scholars and people who, you know, observe, who are sort of study this sort of thing. They see that this is taking it to a new level. But most people in the Congress, and I think in the political establishment generally, just, yeah, well, what else is new? The problem here, though, is, I mean, let's look at the sort of global situation. Donald Trump's declared war on the entire world, economic war, with his tariffs. I mean, he has basically alienated most of the world by what he's done. The Europeans are, you know, they're moving as fast as they can to arm up and extricate themselves from the American security umbrella. You have this meeting in China just last week with Xi Jinping and Kim Jong-un and Vladimir Putin and Modi of India, all, you know, hugging and kissing and holding hands and saying, we are, you know, we are the best of friends, and creating an alliance that is very, very formidable. And that alliance is not aligned with us. And, you know, I'm not saying that that's only Donald Trump's doing. You know, this has been happening right for quite some time, but he has exacerbated it. And with that, with, I mean, in the case of India, it is him. He did it. I mean, India was just licking his boots. Modi was his best friend. He endorsed him for president. Modi did. And Trump comes along and says to him, you know, he wants to take credit for the rapprochement between Pakistan and India in this latest skirmish. And they've had skirmishes for many years, so that he can get the Nobel Peace Prize. And Modi says no, because domestically, that's just poison, right? To have a third party in India, you know, come into India and say they created a peace agreement between them and Pakistan. That's poison to hit to Modi's politics and to the country at large, because they're very independent and very, you know, proud of their independence, and they don't want the U.S. interfering and things like that. And Trump just wouldn't listen. So he's going around taking credit for it, and it has completely alienated that relationship. And so Modi's running, you know, and Modi was, you know, I mean, he's, they're all looking around for, you know, how they can get away from having to answer to the United States, because we're so unstable and so completely unpredictable, because we keep voting in, you know, clowns and corrupt monsters into our leadership, that, you know, he was already looking to China, but that just blew up the relationship as it was. So that's the kind of thing that's happening globally. So, yeah, sure, we're in a situation where, you know, I could totally see the United States, you know, doing well. Venezuela, that's, I think that's a place where you can see there's absolutely no, you know, way that they could do, you know, perpetrate a regime change in Venezuela without completely inflaming the world, I don't think. But I don't think Trump knows that. And if he did know it, I don't think he cares. You got Pete Hegseth running around going, you know, yeah, I'm in the Secretary of the Department of War, you know, he's saying today, because they've changed the name of the Defense Department.
That's one of the few things where I'm like, you know what? Good, because now every time they use it, like the idea that he's somehow the anti-war.
I actually think
it's like, I think it's healthy. I think like Department of Defense, at least the way that the United States has been using that department for the last 80 years, is arguably a misnomer and misleading. And so Department of War, okay, good. If you know, I know that the reason why they did it wasn't for that. It was so that they could feel more masculine. And I imagine I will have, you know, the same, it needs to feel a little less soy-y when I am, you know, in Trump's, in the shape that Trump is in, I would imagine. Let's talk about Epstein, because I can't help but think they may have had this sort of like idea of like, this is how we're going to escalate it, but the timing, we're going to use the bombing of a, because I think they must have been surprised. Like, nobody seemed to like, oh, we just blew up a boat of Venezuelans, but you know, they were probably narco terrorists and you know, or Trenta de Agua, and you know, why not? But I don't think it was a coincidence that it happened on the same day
or it didn't.
In the same news cycle as the Epstein survivors having a press conference on the Hill. This is, I guess, at the beginning of the week. It also occurs to me like Donald Trump had disappeared 5 days.
Yeah.
And he's got these blotches on his hands, which my understanding is that there is some there are some anti Alzheimer's drugs, some very expensive ones that need to be administered IV on a monthly basis. Who knows?
I think he was training Muay Thai.
Or he could have been doing part of his workout.
Opening those big windows.
Could have his workout. But people can look up. I think it's Kasunla.
Interesting. I hadn't heard that. But yeah. Sure. And, I mean, you know.
They give it they either give it in the vein here or right here. And, you know, sometimes you don't have the veins here.
Yeah.
And so you got to get, this is the place you give it.
And old people bruise very easily. I mean, that's just a common thing. My dad's hands were all bruised up too.
Tell me about it. So, I think I got one right here where hurt me. The Epstein thing, it now appears that they only need two more Republicans to do this discharge petition, but it appears that Massey may not be able to find them.
Well, Trump was calling them all up and saying it will be considered a hostile act if you vote for this. And which I mean, to me, that's such a cell phone, right? A hostile to who? Trump? Well, that kind of proves the point, doesn't it? I mean, if it's hostile to release this, obviously he personally has something to hide here. He's personally involved himself in it now. He says, oh, it's a hoax and they're a bunch of Democrats. And I read something, maybe it was on the Daily Beast or one of the sort of gossipy sites, saying that he was known to be saying that these women were all liars and, you know, and whores. So he's definitely, but this has all been behind the scenes. He actually came out and said, it'll be a hostile act. You will be hostile to me personally if you do this. And
that seems weird.
Yeah, why would that be? Why would it be hostile to him? Why would he even involve himself in this thing? Why is he even care?
I have nothing to do with it, except for the memory of Jeffrey.
I wish him well. I wish him well.
Let's put this up. This is number 7. This is he posted this today. I so don't care about this at all that he writes what, as far as I can tell, maybe the longest thing he's ever written in his entire life. I'll read it here. The confused and badly failing Democrat Party did nothing about Jeffrey Epstein while he was alive, except befriend him, socialize with him, travel to his island, and take his money. So at least he's acknowledging that there were some relationships like this. They knew everything there was to know about Epstein. I suppose also they could have just asked Donald Trump's former labor secretary, Acosta, who is testifying behind closed doors, I think, in a week or something.
Mm-hmm.
But now, years after his death, they out of nowhere are seeming to show such love and heartfelt concern for his victims. Does anybody really believe that? Where were they during the very public trial, his public trial, and all those years before his death? The answer is nowhere to be found. Now dying, after the DOJ gave thousands of pages of documents in full compliance with a very comprehensive and exacting subpoena from Congress.
He wrote that sentence.
I was going to say, Donald Trump. Yeah.
Signature no. DJT.
Boss, can I put in a parenthesis? A what? A what? It won't be. It'll just be a parenthesis.
How many times has he said exacting?
Yeah, exacting.
Yeah.
Capital the S on subpoena so they know it's from me. Epstein case was only brought back to life by the radical left Democrats because they're doing so poorly with the lowest poll numbers in the history of the party, 16%, while the Republicans are doing so well, among the highest approvals the party has ever had. The Dem don't care about the victim. I mean, whatever. It's all the... it's all the same stuff. But what's interesting is between his saying that the bags being thrown out of the White House, his instant lie of like, it's all AI. Anything bad is AI. And then his little treatise that he's written about like the Democrats. It's interesting because this radical left wing organization set up like a sting with a guy who turns out to be deputy, acting deputy secretary of the DOJ, or acting deputy chief of the DOJ. Oh, in this radical left-wing organization is like James O'Keefe. That's I don't know if he's still involved with Project Veritas.
No, it's his new. It's his new group that did this.
Yeah. New Veritas or whatever it is.
He got kicked out of Project Veritas because he stole money. Yeah,
I know he did, but he on the video he's talking in front of a Project Veritas thing, so I can't quite make it out, but. This is Joseph Schnitt. He is the acting deputy chief, Office of Enforcement Operations in the DOJ. Now, there's, I think, like a dozen deputy chiefs, although like traditionally. But they've gotten rid of the civil rights division practically. So I don't know if there's a, I don't know if there's any deputy chiefs, frankly, around. Enforcement operations is really sort of like the he's in charge of the shock troops. And so I would imagine he is like he's not like some holdover from the civil rights division. In other words,
right.
Like he is a Trump political approved hire. And here he is on, I guess it was a Hinge date. You know, shout out. being secretly recorded, talking about what he later claims is just news reports. I want you to just think that, because his claim was like, oh, I was talking personally, everything I just got from the news. And I haven't heard, I haven't read anything about this from
news to me.
Yep, good.
U.S. Attorney's Office.
Recently, the FBI and DOJ have come under fire for promising transparency.
Yeah, so this is a joint, I think, play with O'Keefe and Veritas. Okay.
Well, those files do exist.
Yeah, thousands and thousands of pages of files.
Oh, pause it for 1 second. Go back. I just want you to hear this. The date. The undercover journalist says those files exist. They're talking about the Epstein files. And he's like, oh, yeah. Good.
Well, those files do exist.
Yeah, thousands and thousands of pages of files. They'll redact every Republican or conservative person in those files. Leave all the liberal Democratic people in those files.
And they visited that Maxwell person.
Yeah.
And also
involved. Got transferred to a minimum security prison too recently, which is against BOP policy because she's a convicted sex offender. They're offering her something to keep her out of jail.
That was the acting deputy.
Whoa, wait a second.
Second date incoming.
Yeah, I guess so.
Wait, has James O'Keefe been negatively polarized to be against the Republicans now?
I mean, I think the guy who needs hits. Now, what's interesting is like how little this is traveling through those channels.
It?
Like, it's almost as if all the regular conduits. But this seems like a big deal. Now, again, this deputy chief claims like he only read about this in the news. Now, the Maxwell thing. I don't know. He's talking about BOP policy. I think that must be
Bureau of Prisons.
I didn't know that was Bureau of Prisons policy. That's sort of news to me, but maybe I don't. I don't read the right newspapers. But this, I mean, this Epstein thing. It's hard to imagine it goes away unless, like, because. Those women who were at the press conference said, we have a list. We're compiling a list, and we will put it out if Congress does nothing.
Well, that's right. And the fact that O'Keefe did this, let me just say that he was quoted later. He posted on X that sort of a weird tepid thing. Well, I think that guy might be a Democrat. He's not. I mean, the DOD came out and defended him and said, you know, yes, he does work here, but he doesn't have access to the information and blah, blah, blah. But they did not come down on him as they would have if he was a Democrat. He's one of them. There's no doubt about it. But anyway, that's what O'Keefe said. But the fact that O'Keefe is one of the people doing it, I don't think he's been negatively polarized. He's a part, he needs hits. Yes, that's what it's all about for him and for many of these influencers. But there is a whole faction on the MAGA side that is not letting go of this. And we know this because Marjorie Taylor Greene, of all people, and Lauren Boebert and Nancy Mace are the three, aside from Thomas Massey, who have signed on to the discharge petition. And when the survivors came out and said, we've got, you know, we've been waiting for somebody to put out the names and they're not doing it, so we will do it because we know who trafficked us. Their lawyers were concerned because that what they've been afraid of this whole time is they're naming very powerful people. And that's kind of terrifying, especially in today's environment, that they would, you know, find themselves on the wrong side of, you know, I don't know, violence even. So Marjorie Taylor Greene and Thomas Massie said, that's okay. They can give us the list. We'll go on the floor of Congress and we will name all these names. And we have a constitutional protection that, you know, You cannot hold anyone liable for what they say on the floor of Congress, according to the Constitution.
Was done in the context of Mike Gravel. The Pentagon Papers.
The Pentagon Papers.
Former senator from Alaska.
Yeah, and so this is Greene came out and said she was at that press conference, and she came out and said it. Now, Marjorie Taylor Greene is as MAGA as it gets, right? I mean, she was the space lasers and QAnon and everything before she got in Congress. Total Trump.
After she got in Congress, too,
she got in Congress. But, you know, this is a person who has tremendous credibility among the MAGA faithful. There's no doubt about it. I mean, I think she's nuts. But nonetheless, on this particular issue, she is representing a fair number of MAGA people who do not believe, who see this as a cover up and are beginning to see the cover up is Donald Trump and the Republican Party. They're already hostile to Pam Bondi. They're hostile to Kash Patel, both of whom promised to release this stuff and didn't really do it. They're starting to turn on members of Congress like James Comer. And so you've got that tells you something. And that is why this thing is not going to go away. If it was just Democrats holding another press conference on the stairs, on the steps, Trump wouldn't care. I don't think it would matter. The MAGA people would be behind him. He would know that he wouldn't have to call up people personally and say it will be, I will, you know, take it personally that this is a hostile act if you vote for this. He knows that there is this is a problem for him, you know, among his own people. And so, you know, I don't think it can go away. There's no way it can go away because this thing, by the way, these people will never be satisfied. I don't care what they put out at this point. They're not going to believe it. So this is going to dog him forever.
Do you have a sense of like what's driving someone like Marjorie Taylor Greene?
I don't get it.
Let's speculate for a moment, right? Because Trump can't come out and be actively hostile to somebody who wants this released. Because if it's all Democrats on the list, right? Like, it doesn't make sense. Like, he, you know, we can read reporting in Axios that he's like, this is a hostile act. Nobody's going to see that on Fox. And to the extent that it's not being released, he's just going to throw people under the bus. He's not going to fire them, but like it's a much better story to tell your MAGA supporters that like, oh, Trump is it's Pam Bondi, it's Kash Patel. They're the ones who are doing this. And, you know, Trump doesn't know because he's very busy. He's got to attack Venezuela or whatever it is. I wonder if this isn't Marjorie Taylor Greene like envisioning a post-Trump era already, which seems early to me. But she is one of the few people who it seems is outside of Donald Trump directly attacking her, she has her own base. She's like one of the top fundraisers. You know, she's sort of like, and in the Republican Party, there's enough like sort of MAGA adjacent people. And we could see this just from like how many, you know, 2 weeks ago were like, I'll sign the discharge petition. And now they sort of cave to Trump only. Mm-hmm. That, you know, it's not the, she's sort of their AOC, except for the Democrats. There's not enough sort of like AOC lights in the Democratic Party for AOC to have the sort of play that Marjorie Taylor Greene has in the Republican right. Party. It feels like she's setting herself up for a post-Trump era in some way by doing this, because someone's going to inherit the MAGA base. And I don't know that it's J.D. Vance. I mean, I'm getting a little aspirational here, too, where in my mind, Donald Trump takes a vacation from the presidency, if you know what I mean. Right. But I can't figure out any other sort of like, I mean, Massey, I think it's like he is also in the situation where Trump already, he's on the wrong side of Trump anyways. Yep. So yep. You might as well at that point, like go as far as you can looking for support. And that's with the people who do care about the Epstein thing in the Republican Party. But Mace and Boebert, I can't quite figure out.
I don't get it either, but I think you may be right about Green. And, you know, she marches to her own drummer in more ways than one. It's more than just Epstein. She's also very anti, you know, forever war. This is one of her things. She hates the idea of the U.S. supporting Ukraine, for instance, you know, and not she sort of took seriously a lot of what Trump said. And has not moved off of that. And so I think you're right that she's tried to claim that MAGA mantle. And she may just believe all this stuff. I mean, I don't even know. I mean, maybe she thinks there is an international pedophile ring run by Hillary Clinton and Bill Gates or something. I mean, I don't know. She may believe that stuff. She's pretty crazy. But I think you're right. Just on a political level, she's not, you know, she's not idiotic. She has a certain kind of feral savvy, kind of like Trump does, about the people that support her and understands what they want to hear. That's why she is important in this thing, because I think she really does represent a fair number of MAGA true believers. And I think that she knows who they are. I think she understands them perhaps better than even Donald Trump does. And certainly on this Epstein thing, he dug himself a hole with this. And, you know, what's starting to bubble up, what I think is starting to bubble up, and I could be wrong, is the fact that all this is going on and Trump's calling it a hoax and saying, why are we wasting time? And when he ever talks about it, it's always a waste of time. Why aren't we talking about how great everything is and how great I am and, you know, what a wonderful person I am? Instead, they were talking about this. And what they're seeing, though, is they're seeing all these pictures of Donald Trump and Jeffrey Epstein, and it's relentless. That it's everywhere. The pictures of him and Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell and Melania, and it's clear that he was part of that group. Yeah, AI. Going way back 20 some odd years, the AI has been out there. So I think that there's, you know, they're not the brightest, but there is a little cognitive dissonance happening among the MAGA base. And, you know, Green may definitely be on that. Now, why Boebert and Mace are on it? Mace is just she's just a drama queen. She just does whatever's going to get her. You know, she came crying out of the testimony the other day. And, you know, but Boebert and Green are not close friends. They're not, no. You know, they're kind of rivals. Yeah. And I'd put my money on Green any day against Boebert, but, you know. So I'm not quite sure why the three of them have banded together to do this. But, you know, it's good to see. And I absolutely believe that Marjorie Taylor Greene will walk onto the floor of the House and read those names off. I think she will do it. You know, that's just something that it's the kind of thing she would do. She's not, you know, say many things about her, but she's not a coward. She will, you know, go way out front and do whatever she feels like is going to benefit her and what, you know, what is going to get her the kind of attention that she's looking for. So, you know, in some ways, I have to wonder if Trump isn't you know, a little afraid of Marge. She's kind of like Laura Loomer in some ways. We haven't even talked about her, but that's another one that's doing. Like,
there are some things that I don't know that we're ever going to understand.
It's just too weird.
No, the Laura Loomer thing is absolutely bizarre. And but you know, the thing is with Marjorie Taylor Greene is like once she's boxed out of leadership in the House, and, or you know, for the moment, she's sort of untouchable because it's not like she's a senator. She has her district. She's not going to lose. There's not going to be anybody to her right in the primary, and she's not going to lose in the general. And she's raising all this money, so that's where her you know, with Laura Loomer, God knows what is going on with that.
She's got to have something on Trump, right? She has to have something on Trump, but he's afraid of her. It's got to be that. Because she is operating completely with impunity by coming by dictating who can be on the National Security Council.
It's
canceling intelligence meetings. I mean, this isn't just
she just canceled an intelligence meeting. Somehow got the intel community to cancel their meeting with Mark Warner on the Intel Committee. Like, who is in the meeting going like? Laura Loomer says we can't do this.
So. Okay, never mind. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay. Well, I didn't realize Laura Loomer, like, what?
No.
I think it's pretty straightforward. This is the reports of Laura Loomer's activities on Air Force One from the campaign where they had to keep her away are done. And she probably has some evidence of those activities. Mm-hmm. And Trump doesn't give two shits about the governing. What he cares about, I am quite convinced, is whatever documents he has with Melania about any type of like public revelations about anything like that.
Yeah.
And I'm just convinced that it is so. It's almost impossible to wrap our heads around the idea that this is just like, well, she fooled around with me and I don't want her to tell anybody. So whatever she says, just do. I don't care. She wants to fire a general or the entire general staff or no intel or whatever it is. What she says goes.
Yeah. I mean, that's I mean, whatever, you know, your leader says that's the way it's got to go. And that's the only thing that makes any sense, honestly, that he is just terrified. She has evidence.
I can't even come up with an alternative.
I can't either.
She's very bright, guys. She's bright in so many different areas of our government that whatever she says, you follow.
Security.
From the FDA to national security and to everything in between, whatever Laura says goes.
Yeah. I mean, that's the only thing that it can be. I mean, that's where I've come up to, Sam. I mean, there's no other explanation but it has to be. There's no other reason why this person could have this high level of influence on these very, very important aspects of our government. But there it is. And you know, I don't know if we'll ever know either, but I think it's beyond speculation. I think it's the only logical.
They call it P-tape 2. That's what they call it. The P-tape 2.
Total myth. Oh, my God.
Total fake news.
It's a Democratic hoax. Definitely.
All right. We have to talk about this because you're the only person I'm watching writing about this. I mentioned it, I think, on the first day I was back from vacation. In March, there was a government shutdown, showdown, if you will. And I think it was like 8 or 12 senators ultimately voted to essentially fund the government. And at the time, I'm sure you were too. We all hear where our hair is on fire. And it's like, there is no other leverage. And Chuck Schumer desperately wanted to go on his book tour about his anti-Semitism book. But he argued that if we don't fund the government, it gives Elon Musk and Donald Trump total power and what's his face over at the OMB, Russ Vogt, total power to shut down whatever they want and defund it, whatever they want in the government. And it was, you did not have to be a soothsayer. You could look at what was going on and noticing they're already doing that.
Exactly.
They're already doing that. And they're doing it in such a way that it's so piecemeal that the American public's not aware of it. Now, Schumer passed the bill, aided and abetted in the passing the bill. It was a but for Schumer's support. And a lot of people say that it was Gillibrand who was really for it, and Schumer was giving cover. I have a feeling it's some combination of both of them. And then others joined on. And absolutely, Donald Trump continued. Fire 80% of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. We just had the other day, tens of thousands of other federal workers fired. USAID, foreign aid support. On and on and on and on. They have not slowed one iota.
No.
And it was the only opportunity for Democrats to push back, fight, and make the Republicans as a group own all of these cuts so that they weren't like, oh, it's in the courts. And then 3 weeks later, an appeal court says you can go ahead and do it. And then 6 months later, it happens and nobody notices it because it's not, it's not a big thing. It's these tiny things. And normal human beings aren't, supposed to follow this stuff in the way that we do. And there's another showdown coming up. And they seem to be taking the exact same tact.
I honestly cannot believe what I'm seeing. I didn't think that they would actually do that this time. We all watched that go down and, people were just furious with Chuck Schumer. And it wasn't just people like you and me. His own senators were furious with him. Cory Booker talked about it in that big 24-hour marathon speech that he gave, that he was upset with Chuck Schumer for doing it. Even Hakeem Jeffries, who, barely has anything, even slightly spoken in anger about anyone, Donald Trump or otherwise, was openly critical of what they did because the Democrats all hung together on that, even ones in the frontline districts who are always terrified that they're going to be held liable for a shutdown. They all held together. And, Schumer and his gang, that group, mostly in the leadership and a few around him, decided to go ahead and do that. And they ended up, breaking the filibuster, which is how that happened. And they ended up passing it. And it was a continuing resolution at that point. They couldn't pass a budget, of course, but I don't even think they had a budget at the time. They just passed a continuing resolution to come up through here.
And let me just add, that was not a clean continuing resolution. There was a lot of actually cuts and a lot of things that the details escaped me, but we've been feeling the impact of down the road. But go ahead.
Yes, absolutely. And the Democrats knew that. And I thought at the time, though, all right, if there's any strategy here, it's that they want to get it closer to the election. They, it's a little too far away. Maybe they can have their big showdown closer to the election and push this up past the summer and do all that. It was lame, but I thought maybe that's what they were thinking. And so here we are now. We have even less to go on to justify allowing this budget or even another continuing resolution to go forward. I don't know what excuse they can actually come up with. Think of all the bad things Trump can do if we shut down the government. I mean, what could be worse than what he's already doing? And that was obvious in March. It's doubly obvious now. He spent the entire last 8 months just taking a wrecking ball to the federal government and passed the one big beautiful bill. And look at what they've got in there. I mean, they're cutting subsidies for Obamacare, the Medicaid cuts. I mean, it was an absolute travesty. Now, that was done under reconciliation, and the Democrats really didn't have this kind of leverage at the time. I mean, they did you know, they did what they could. I guess they rallied against it. They spoke against it. But the Republicans had the votes to get that passed. That's not the same thing here. Now is the time to say, no, we're not. This is what we demand. And I read a great thing by Brian Beutler, you know, who writes, his Substack's called Off Message, I think. And he has a lot of sort of strategic advice, and much of it is quite good. And he's absolutely beside himself over this particular thing, saying what Jeffries and Schumer have done, have come in and they've sent strongly worded letters to the Republicans saying, we'd really like to know what you're doing about trying to come up with a bipartisan agreement. And we don't see why, how you're making any effort to get you find common ground. That's what they're saying. And that is not what you do. You make demands. Make some demands. Come in and say, unless you reverse all the Medicare things, unless you stop occupying cities, unless you, you know, withdraw, you know, your tariffs, unless, you know, and I mean, there's a lot that Democrats could be demanding here. And they're demanding nothing. They're just
no
going,
more automatic rescission, no, yes, you know, or unilateral absolutely. Rescission. I mean, you, the list could go on and on.
On and on.
And it can be, if they want, like, you know, kitchen table issue. It could be something.
Oh, there's tons of them. Tons of kitchen table issues there.
The entire strategy seems to be pretend we're not here.
Yes. Just
pretend we're
trouble.
Not here.
Don't make trouble.
And let's wait until November 2026. And 2 weeks before, we'll like announce we're on the ballot. And the other guy, it's either us or the other guys. And yeah. We don't have to do anything else. I mean, that yeah. seems to be it.
Well, that's the James Carville advice, right? Oh,
yeah,
don't
I mean,
get
it certainly was.
Don't get in their way. If they're you know, shooting themselves in the foot, just let them keep doing it. Well, the problem is that really hasn't been working. And not to mention the fact that, you know, one of the things that I don't understand why Democrats don't understand this, they have voters, too. You know, that it's not just MAGA people who are voters. It's, you know, look at what the Republicans do, backflips to try and appease their voters, to get them to come out and vote. And the Democrats just completely take their voters for granted. And this one really has me stymied. I mean, you know, granted, we've been winning off-year elections. It looks
but
like,
that is,
you know,
I could
you know,
have predicted,
you know, whatever, you know, yeah. And the thing is that doesn't even matter what's happening here. It's beyond just winning elections. This, we are under assault.
Yeah.
From this administration and the Republic, and more importantly, the Republican Party, which has completely abdicated its duty to do anything in the Congress. We've got a Supreme Court that looks like it's going to rubber stamp everything Donald Trump is doing. And there are, you know, vast tens of millions of Americans out here who are sitting here going, what the hell? You know, what this is an abomination. And I mean, basically, the Democratic Party is saying, hey, if you don't like it, maybe you need to take to the streets and get violent or something, because nothing we can do. And that is, you know, that seems to me to be, you know, that's all that's left. And this is crazy because it is not all that's left. The Democrats have a lot of leverage here. They have a lot. They can shut down this government. Donald Trump does not want that to happen. This economy is going south very quickly. The jobs numbers that came out today were absolutely horrible, and it's getting worse every day. These tariffs are getting worse every day. The cost of living is going through the roof. And I think a lot of Americans are waking up and going, hey, you know, maybe things aren't going that great. And the Democrats could make them own every bit of the Republican Party own every bit of this. And
they're just terrified.
Not doing it.
They're just terrified that they're going to get blamed for the government reaction, and they're going to get blamed for the government shutdown. And yeah, that's the thing is that, first of all, I guarantee you, a government shutdown in September of 2025,
exactly.
No one is going to remember what happened. Yeah. And but. It's going to send a message that there is a fire. I mean, we have talked about this. I feel like we've said this so many times. You know, it's like because both of us having come from the film business in some respect. If you don't have a reaction shot, The audience does not know how to respond to 98% of what it watches.
Yeah.
You need to have somebody go like, whoa, what the, you know, like, and the Democrats are providing no reaction shot whatsoever. Yeah. Hakeem Jeffries, there's a video of him the other day at some baseball field in Brooklyn, because he's now starting to worry about his job, as well he should, going like, I got haters in Washington, D.C. I got haters in the Trump people. I got haters in MAGA. But it doesn't matter because God is great. And it's like, oh, okay.
Oh, okay. Never mind. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah.
What's God doing right now? Because maybe he should like. Maybe we need to do something to get the great God's attention. He starts to focus on some of the shit that's going on here, because he may be great, but it seems like he's distracted by other things right now. So maybe we need to do something to say like, hey, just, you know, 5 minutes of your time here. This is insane. It's insane.
Yeah, it is. It's absolutely insane. And it is incredibly stupid. Because, you know, let's just assume that we're looking at elections. You know, we've got one in about a year. We've got another one, you know, 2 years after that. I mean, it seems like, you know, God only knows what will happen in that interim. But they are coming up, and assuming they happen and we survive and, you know, there's the Democrats ever take power again, they will be taking charge of a government that has been, that is in
totally
basically in rubble.
Yep.
It is rubble. And it is going to take something very, very, very creative and very, very bold to be able to rebuild in some way, and hopefully in a better way than what it was before and what it is now. But they are not laying any kind of groundwork for that.
None.
That there is nothing being done to suggest that what is required in order to set our country. And if you look at the right way, wrong way, and what, you know, the people's pessimistic versus optimistic views, this country is, you know, clinically depressed about the future right now. And well, it should be. I mean, I am. I'm sure you are. I mean, you're looking at something, you know, this is a nightmare that we're living through. This is a historic time. I hope everybody knows. Yeah. You're living through some really historical moments here. And this has never happened before. This is brand new stuff in many, many ways. And the Democrats are doing nothing to sort of, you know, lay the groundwork for, or to just express this, to express what's actually happening right
now. You have to emotionally set people up for this stuff. You cannot do it on the 29th day at the end of the month, as it were. And here's the other thing. And really over the past like month, my attitude towards this has I mean, not dramatically turned, but I mean, 6 months ago, if you said to me, like, they're going to cancel elections in 2026, I would have been like, nah. But right now, there does not seem to be any reason in the world why Donald Trump won't say October 20th of 2026, we have an emergency.
We're at war.
We're at war. Trent Aguas here. We're fighting Venezuela. Or I have with secret intel that says the Epstein list is actually like radioactive, and they've released it. Like whatever. And the thing is that how do you then mount any type of resistance?
Exactly.
If there has been no even like dry run or fight amongst Democratic leaders, like how do you then all of a sudden, like you need to build the organizational support and the sort of awareness that something is wrong here. Something is fundamentally wrong. So we're going to do something that is fundamentally different than we've done in the past to make it clear that there's something fundamentally wrong here. Because Trump's getting away with it, whatever he wants. And a year from now, he's only been in office for 9 months, 8 months, less than 9 months. When he's in office for 21 months, like he's going to be that much bolder. assuming that, you know, he knows what day it is. But Stephen Miller's got to, you know, stick his hand up his rump and move his mouth, or just, you know, type into Truth Social. And the Democrats are not showing the American public that there's something wrong, even if you lose that fight, which of course they will. But I mean, even if you lose that fight, you're indicating to the American public, hey, it's time to start paying attention.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's time to start paying attention. I get it. It's depressing. I meet people in my, you know, civilian life here that they're just going, oh, I can't stand it. I can't stand it. Watch the news. It's just so awful and blah, blah, blah. And yet, so they don't know anything. And, you know, they turn to me because I write about politics and I say, you know, what do you think? And I start laying out the litany and they're shocked because they literally do not know it. And that this is a huge problem and people have got to start paying attention. And the Democratic leadership, that's their job. I'm sorry. It's their job. The media, will follow. Their credo is unless the Democrats are saying it, then it's not an issue.
I don't like that idea of us counting on a media that is going to sort of like articulate the truth and the urgency of a situation is absurd. That does not happen. They always wait for who is going to lobby at them. And, you know, I mean, look, we do this show every day. If somebody reaches out to us a half a dozen times, and there's anything remotely compelling about it, like that's what gets our attention.
Of course.
And, you know, it's just a matter of resources. If the Democrats are not making a case, you cannot wait for the public. And that's the thing. It's like, I don't know if people like who watch this show or in general understand how little of this stuff breaks through, you know, in terms of like the actual details. And so you need the Democratic Party. Like this is the value. When people say, like, I'm not interested in electoral politics, that's all well and good. But the fact of the matter is our society is set up in a certain way.
Yes.
And I wouldn't prescribe it. I don't advocate it. I am happy to push back against it.
Yeah.
But it is what it is. There are certain physics. And so these people, at the very least, they're in a position, their rhetoric and what their performative acts do is important.
Yeah.
And they need to perform. There's one way to perform this. And it's the one time they have leverage where everything's going to come to a halt. Like,
absolutely.
This is why people block highways is because everything comes to a halt and you have to pay attention.
That's right. You have to read the sign because you're just sitting there and you've got to read that sign. And just, I mean, before we go, I do want to just give, there are some people who are trying. I mean, also just some leadership. I think Governor Pritzker in Illinois, he's out there trying to do it. Newsom in his way is trying to do it here in California. There are the governors, there's some, you know, action there where they're, you know, because they're kind of on the front lines of this invasion by Trump's, you know, stormtroopers of ICE stormtroopers in the cities. So there is that. But, you know, it's kind of disparate. You know, it's kind of all over the place. And the Congress is, you know, front what they are running against, what their job is to confront the Republican Party. That is who they're running against in this next election. They are the Republican Party across the board has completely abdicated its responsibility as, you know, a reasonable majority party. They are nothing but a cult now, and they're following the edicts of their you know, basically their king. And the Democratic Party in Washington has an opportunity to make that clear. To make it clear, it's not just Trump. It is the Republican Party. This is what they have to do. And I've
been saying this.
I don't know what
years.
To do.
And have no interest.
I know.
It's extremist MAGA, extremist Republicans. Not Republicans. It's extreme MAGAist. It's like hyper. What did Biden have? Uber MAGA, extreme MAGA. Like anything to say like Republicans. Right. Anything. Yeah. Like
and you know, oh, and there are good Republicans. I'm going, where? I mean, I don't even know how to define that anymore. So, you know, this is a problem. And, you know, watch this unfold, this government shutdown thing. I think they're probably going to kick the can because they don't have enough time to do anything.
Well, the Democrats are going to agree to kick the can, and they're going to kick it to Christmas, exactly.
And then they can't shut down the government because everyone wants Christmas.
It's Christmas.
What about the toys? Yeah, I mean, exactly. That's going to be the thing. It's what we're doing now, and it's so infuriating.
Indivisible and a couple other groups, I think, Run for Something, and there's a couple other groups, and maybe we got to have some people on who are pressuring Democrats, House Democrats, to the extent that you can, Senate Democrats too. Like, Hakeem Jeffries needs to be primaried, and he needs to be primaried by somebody who can beat him. They need to have fear for their own jobs. They need to be forced. Like, we have seen it now with AIPAC, where you're starting to see, you know, backbench Democrats go, I'm no longer taking AIPAC money. Some dude from Kentucky, what was his name again? MacGyver or something like that. Somebody else said, I'm no longer taking AIPAC money. And we're starting to see this because they're getting afraid, you know, that being associated with AIPAC is a liability. I mean, no shit. I mean, the polling is so obvious on this.
But I mean, this is beyond.
Jeffries and Schumer and everybody who is not, all of these electeds who are not pushing back on their leadership of basically playing dead, they need to feel like that is also a threat to their fortunes going forward. So any groups that are in any way challenging them and making them feel the heat on this in particular is the best way to get any type of activity.
Absolutely.
Digby, always a pleasure. We went way long, but I really appreciate it. We had a lot to talk about, and we probably could have gone for another 2 hours, frankly.
I feel
with
better.
Just top stories. What would have been a top story 3 years ago?
I know. But at least, you know, we got some Epstein. We got some Venezuela. We got the showdown. I think we've covered at least, you know, some of the bases here today.
Let's just hope that, like, you know, somebody's... somebody's careless with their intravenous stuff. And, you know, things get...
just take.
Bacteria on these things is not unheard of.
It does. Oops, an air bubble. Oh, no. Yeah. I mean, who knows?
Heather Farton, always a pleasure. Of course, we were talking satirically about fictional characters.
Totally. Yeah, of course. Don't even know what that was about.
Thank you, Digby.
All right. Talk to you later.
Bye-bye. All right, we're going to head into the fun half of the program. Short fun half today. Got a lot of that free show.
Watch Harry Emden.
Yes, there you go.
It's so cool, like, having these old guys be president where they're very clearly not there.
I think it was the woman who is running to be DC's non-voting representative. She's running for re-election, and she is what, like 80?
88.
88 so, battle-tested years.
88 battle-tested. She'll be 89 when she runs, right? Like, it's 13 months ago. She must have another birthday. She's going to be 89. I don't even vote. What difference does it make? I never missed a vote.
I mean,
I like the Navy bean soup on Tuesdays.
Exactly.
In terms of my neurological capacity.
I can't remember who it was that had a piece on that. I think it was Atrios wrote about this. Like, one thing that people don't understand, and he was saying this as a way of giving a credit to Jerry Nadler, who stepped down. He said, you know, being that age and having a staff that is around to make sure that, like, everything's cool for you is very helpful. I mean, it you know, having had parents who are in their late 70s and their 80s, like, you know, there are times where you're like, hey, can you get somebody to help you with this? And like, you know, those parents, sometimes they can, sometimes they can't. But even if they can, they're like reluctant to do it. But these, you know, representatives, they're not reluctant.
No, remember Feinstein?
They should build a
shadow center.
Well, I mean that was like you had to have people do it. But people who are even like aware of what's going on, I don't think Feinstein had a clue as to where she was.
Yeah.
At you know, 80% of the time. But, you know, Nadler, it's like he's going to have to, you know, like your staff, they're doing, there's like at least 20% of the work they're doing is just like not full, you know, the most ridiculous of errands for you, but I think they're just doing errands. It's sort of like what we got around here.
With how much, yeah, exactly. With how much like nursing homes and stuff cost already, you'd think they could just build a giant replica of Congress in West Virginia somewhere and have like.
Wait, pretend?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, right near that foam Stonehenge in Virginia. Just put them right there.
That would be so awesome. It's like. Like a, instead of like a model UN, it's like a model Congress, but for all old people, so they can all pretend like they're still there. I'm going to my committee meeting.
I think that place is called the Villages.
The chairs are extra padded.
Oh, God.
The only difference.
Folks, it's your support that makes this show possible. You can become a member at jointhemajorityreport.com. When you do, you not only get the free show, you also get the fun half, and you keep this show surviving and thriving. Jointhemajorityreport.com. That's where you do it. Jointhemajorityreport.com. Also, Just Coffee. JustCoffee.coop. Fair trade coffee from a co-op in Madison, Wisconsin that they got great politics. They got set up to protect and help farmers in places like Chiapas and in East Africa. They work with their farmers. They got great coffee, too. And you can get the Majority Report blend. Use the coupon code MAJORITY. Get 10% off. Check them out. Matt, Left Reckoning.
Yeah, Left Reckoning, for anybody who hasn't seen it yet, Brian appeared, our very own Brian, appeared on Left Reckoning on Tuesday, talked a little bit about comedy.
I heard he really handed it to you.
Yeah, we debated.
It was a big debate.
we'll have a Sunday show for folks, patreon.com/LeftReckoning, to get access to that on Sunday.
See you in a fun half. Three months from now, 6 months from now, 9 months from now, and I don't think it's going to be the same as it looks like in 6 months from now, and I don't know if it's necessarily going to be better 6 months from now than it is 3 months from now, but I think around 18 months out, we're going to look back and go like, wow.
What?
What is that going on? It's nuts. Wait a second. Hold on for a second.
The Majority Report.
Emma, welcome to the program.
Hey.
Matt.
Fun.
What is up, everyone?
Fun.
Nomi Key.
You did it.
Fun.
Let's go, Brandon.
Fun. Bradley, you want to say hello?
Sorry to disappoint everyone. I'm just a random guy.
It's all the boys today.
Fundamentally false.
No, I'm sorry. Women.
Stop talking for a second. Now let me finish.
Where is this coming from, dude?
But dude, you want to smoke this 7A?
Yes.
Hi, me? Is this?
Yes.
Is this me?
Is it me?
It is you.
Is this me? Hello, is this me?
I think it is you. Who is you? No sound. Every single freaking day. What's on your mind?
Sports. We can discuss free markets and we can discuss capitalism.
Oh, I'm going to go throw up.
Who libertarians?
They're so stupid, though.
Common sense says, of course.
Gobbledygook.
We fucking nailed him.
So what's 79 plus 21?
Challenge met.
I'm positively quivering.
I believe 96, I want to say. 857-210-3551. One half. 3/8.
9/11, for instance.
$3,400, $1,900.
$5.43 trillion
sold.
It's a zero-sum game.
Actually, you're making me think less.
But let me say this.
Poop. You can call it satire. Sam goes, satire.
On top of it all,
yeah.
My favorite part about you is just like every day, all day, like everything you do.
Without a doubt.
Hey, buddy, we see you. All right, folks.
It's just the week being weeded out, obviously.
Yeah, sun's out, guns out. I don't know.
But you should know.
People just don't like to entertain ideas anymore.
I have a question. Who cares?
Our chat is enabled,
folks.
I
love it.
I do love that.
Gotta jump. Gotta be quick. I gotta jump.
I'm losing it, bro.
2 o'clock. We're already late. And the guy's being a dick. So screw him. Sent to a gulag?
Outrageous.
Like, what is wrong with you?
Love you, bye.
Love you. Bye-bye. We are back, Sam Cedar on the Majority Report. It's the fun half. Emma Viglin out today, hoping to take some phone calls. Still working on our phone situation.
Do you think football coming back has anything to do with Emma being out?
He's saying it's a new step. It's... it's not clickable, Kyle. I'm getting a text about it.
I think you're just dodging chorus questions.
And dear God, if you want to come at me that way, you're going to have to take it up with me.
That's true. Dear God.
Heavens to Betsy.
Is he addressing God in that statement? Is that from the Bible?
Yeah, he's like Lieutenant Dan on top of the mast.
Yeah, it doesn't... oh, wait. Now I clicked setup and it... it's weird stuff's happening right now with that thing. Okay, let's get to this. You know... I got a flu shot yesterday, and I was going
hey,
in.
Fauci.
I know. Soy boy, fembot. What do you want? I'm sorry. Too afraid of the flu. They did not have the COVID booster. Fortunately, in New York State, Hochul's going to sign something that's going to make it available to everybody in this state. Which means that you're not going to have to pay for it. That was supposedly what Bobby Kennedy promised everybody. But now his regime made it unavailable for people unless you want to pay for the full ride. But nevertheless, but I was getting my flu shot and I'm like, Saul had Lyme disease over the summer. He's doing much better. It's, you know, he took antibiotics and I had like a creaky neck. And I'm like, maybe I have... Lyme. And then I was like, what if I get a flu shot and it doesn't work? And, all of this. And then I'm like, oh my God, all of this like misinformation is out there and it just sort of like seeps into your head. So I got the flu shot. Now my neck feels fine. Now I don't know the correlation between getting a flu shot and neck soreness going away. I'm just putting it out there. I'm not a doctor. You got to do your own research.
If you have a sore neck, go get vaxxed.
But I'm just saying, that's what happened. My neck is no longer sore. Look at this. Full range of motion.
That's a real thing.
Full range of motion right here. The misinformation that Joe Rogan puts out, even when it's benign, is really, really problematic for our society. It's a problem across all the internet. But Joe Rogan and Spotify, his publisher and financier, they have one of the biggest platforms in the country. So when he puts out misinformation, it is a problem. Even if the specific stuff is not that important. Like, here's a perfect example from just the other day. He's on with, who's this guy?
Comedian Tim Dillon.
Is he the one? He wasn't the one from Saturday Night Live, is he?
No, that's Shane Gillis.
Oh, okay. They both have L's in their name. He's on with Tim Dillon, and just watch. Like, Rogan could have a very good fact-checking staff because he's extremely wealthy. Go ahead.
And then the race
is over, and they realize that person was a liability, so they cut them off.
And you never.
And then that person goes wacky, like Tim Walz. You know what's really fun?
Yeah.
When someone is in that whole race and running for president or vice president, and then the race is over and they realize that person was a liability, so they cut them off.
And you never
And then that person goes wacky, like Tim Walz.
That's right.
Did you see where he had a fuck Trump shirt on?
Yeah.
And he's dancing and going down an elevator? Have you seen this video?
I haven't seen it. Please play it. I haven't seen it.
Please, Jamie, find
that
video.
Well, Tim Walz is...
But this is weird.
That was a big mistake.
Oh, a huge mistake.
They should have picked Josh Shapiro from... Yes. The governor of Pennsylvania.
I think they're worried about the Jewish thing.
Well, of course. It's a big swing state.
Mm-hmm. Pause it for a second. This is honestly like, it's like a Gordian knot of stupidity here. Like, because you're going back and forth. First off, the data gets clearer and clearer that the F up by the Harris campaign was they did not recognize the polling and actively told their canvassers not to deliver us the data that the Gaza position that Harris had was hurting them. Okay, that is just pure fact. Shapiro would have made that problem even worse.
Okay,
it would have compounded it. If you look at the first part of their campaign before the DNC, when Walz was going around going, they're weird. That is the peak of Harris's polling numbers. And when they shut Walz down, also very well reported, that was part of their decline. Now, maybe it's not directly attributable to it, but it disproves everything they have said up to this point. And it only gets worse in terms of being disproven.
That's actually not what we're reacting to.
That's not what we're reacting to. This is just the tee up to the absolute facepalm.
Jewish thing.
Well, of course. It's a big swing state.
Mm-hmm.
And it would have been better.
Okay. You go full screen on
this. Is that really this him?
No, it's not real.
It's real.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Hear Jamie saying, it's no, real. It's not.
Oh, look, I can tell it's not real.
I'd love it. It's real.
It's not real.
It's got
to
be real.
It has to be real.
It has to be real.
Jamie.
Come on, man.
Jamie's compromised.
Look at him dancing. That is so real, Jamie.
By the way, if this was real, he might have won.
It's probably a real person. It might not be Tim Walz. The fuck Trump is AI generated.
No, he slaps his ass.
I mean, that is hilarious.
Oh, my God. First off, pause it, pause it, pause it. Think of where your brain has to be to think that is Tim Walz actually doing that. Like, you have to be so far gone in the bag, because if Tim Walz did that, he would be committed. Like, literally, anyone around him would be like, you've had a mental break.
Yeah, what's going on?
He's the sitting governor.
Still a governor of the state.
He's the governor of the state. And
going around Mall of America.
His first reaction. Rogan is so desperate to believe this
That's
is
weird.
True.
Yeah. That's spooky.
So desperate. Like, he's literally arguing with the producer. So desperate to believe that this is true, that all reason has completely left his brain. But it also turns out, like, it's literally labeled AI generated. But go ahead.
I like that he's afraid of it. He's like, it was weird.
It was weird, man. I couldn't.
I was aroused.
I couldn't. It was. I mean, no.
But it's real.
It's not real.
It's got
to
be real.
It has to be real.
It has to be real.
Jamie,
come on, man.
Jamie's compromised.
Look at him dancing.
I mean, the
that is so real, Jamie.
By the way, if this was real, he might have won.
It's probably a real person. It might not be Tim Walz. The fuck Trump is AI generated.
No, he slaps his ass.
I mean, that is hilarious.
Oh, it's definitely him. This is all 100% real, Jamie. You're a plant by the
government.
Jamie's
compromised, and I'm worried about Jamie, and I'm worried about Grok.
Does it say that it's AI?
I mean, yes.
You say it's AI. Everybody says
the
it?
The video I played on top says it's AI generated.
Rep Riley so Moore what? Fell for an AI generated video of Minnesota Go. I fell for it too. And you know why I fell?
Okay, no, no, okay. No, 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 no. Pause it there. Pause it there. He's going to explain to you why he fell for it. And you understand, of course. Think of the reasons why you could fall for it. It could be because he has a deficiency, or it could be, of course, completely not his fault. God.
Fell for an AI-generated video of Minnesota Go. I fell for it, too. And you know why I fell for it?
Yeah.
Because I believe that he's capable of doing something
that's
dumb.
But that's his essence.
He's so weird.
He's a weird guy.
Proof that he's weird is that I think he's so weird that that would be true.
What did Chris Cuomo say about AOC?
I think it was the exact same thing, that it seems like that's something AOC would have said.
Yeah.
It is like just fascinating how I go to the next clip. Just to give you another example, there is there's another clip. This has nothing to do with politics, but it does have to do with misinformation. And I don't know how I came across this, but I don't know who this dude is.
He's a podcaster who podcasts on the fringe of free thought or something.
Okay.
Oh, interesting.
So, like, and listen, some of this stuff is okay. Like, you know, I just listen Coast to Coast. I used to listen Coast to Coast. Both with Art Bell and George Norrie. And, but if you are a major corporation and you have a guy who's out there who has access to people like, I don't know, the President of the United States, top officials like, you know, like huge billionaire corporate titans like Elon Musk and whatnot. You have a responsibility as a corporation. I mean, he's owned by a corporation, Spotify. They have a responsibility to make sure that they're not putting out total garbage bullshit. Listen to this exchange.
Yeah, the thing about the, like, if you think the moon landing was fake, you're a moron. But it's like, the thing about it is, if they, even if you want to say they did go to the moon, wouldn't it be reasonable to suggest that they would have had a backup plan in case they couldn't get there, like,
sure,
like have some sort of a video footage, yeah, that they shot or whatever.
Well, not only that, they filmed a lot of training footage. And yeah, they definitely tried to pass some of that training footage off as legit. Mm-hmm. That's proven. Like the
pause
Michael
it for
Collins.
A second. Okay, this is going to come to a shock to everybody, but it is not proven. It is not proven, and here he's going to give the example of Michael Collins. And I will tell you, this is not the first time Joe Rogan has said this. Go ahead.
From Gemini, I forget what mission it was. It was a spacewalk. So there's an image of him that was in training. And, you know, he's got the suit on and the wires. And he's, you know, working with the spacesuit that you use when you're actually in,
yes,
you know,
yeah,
outside of the capsule or whatever the fuck they call it. And what they did was, from the training mission, they just blacked out the exterior of the same photo and reversed it. So they switched the photo the other way. Blacked. It's the exact same photo. The exact same photo. And they tried to pass it off as Michael Collins on the spacewalk. Because you got to think, like, how are they taking pictures? Right. Who's going to take the pictures
Pause
right out there?
Pause it. They actually have ways of, like, they use robots to take the pictures. But let's look into this. Joe Rogan has been saying this at least, and I have to say, I did not spend hours on this, so I don't know. It took me about 7 minutes to find the following information. One, Joe Rogan has been making this claim since 2017, at least. That is, somebody fact-checked me on this, 8 years ago. He has hundreds of millions of dollars. Everybody says, like, how curious he is. That's what's interesting about it. He's curious. He is curious, but not when it comes to finding out if it's actually real. It's just like little brain blips go off, and then he's willing to spend zero amount of time to pursue this. He is curious and the most lazy, intellectually lazy. And saying intellectually sounds more grandiose than it is.
Yeah.
He's just like mentally late. Like, just, I can't even come up with a lower bar.
He's looking for content.
So this is what he's talking about. This is the photo that he's talking about. Scroll up. This is, incidentally, this is from 2009 on Coast to Coast. Photo one. Yeah, scroll down now. Okay, photo one on the left is the actual training photograph. And then photo two on the right is what Joe Rogan claims it is. It is like, it's not quite, it's not Photoshop because they, I don't know, they had Photoshop at that time, but whatever. They black it out. They black out the behind and they flipped it. And where was this photo from? Did NASA release this photo? Go to the next page. The next number. I'm sorry. Go to. Yeah. Okay. The go to the book the book clip. Scroll down. No, no, no. You got to go to the. I put it in Slack. The actual clip. Okay. Here's the original picture from the book, and the caption reads. Oh, incidentally, the book that I'm referring to is this astronaut's autobiography called Carrying the Fire by Michael Collins. It's in the Slack. The actual image of the book is in the Slack. And it is, there's the picture in the book. Scroll down. I think you can, maybe it's not. Just in the Slack. It is a cover picture from his autobiography. There it is, Carrying the Fire. And he did it himself. He super, not, you know, whoever it is. They superimposed it. In the book itself, and again, this is also in the Slack. Let's look at the image in the Slack. Of the text. Yes, let's pop that up. This is from Carrying the Fire, the book. One of the great disappointments of the flight was the fact there were no photos of my spacewalk over to the Agena. He's admitting there are no photos of his spacewalk in the book that has that picture on the cover. What with camera malfunctions and John's understandable preoccupation with keeping us from hitting the Agena without firing that bad thruster, whatever its number was, all we had was the film from one movie camera, which was pointed straight ahead, in which automatically recorded an uninterrupted sequence of black sky a few feet below the Agena. In the second half of the 20th century, an event must be seen to be believed, and a description of the trip without pictures seemed anachronistic at best. I was really feeling sorry for myself, unable to produce a graphic documentation for my grandchildren of my brief sally. It goes on. You can read this book. It's on Google Books, incidentally.
Hidden information, page 253.
NASA never released this picture as a picture of the spacewalk. It is just a graphic. It took me about, honestly, 7 minutes to find this information. And he has been espousing this conspiracy theory for 8 years, at least, as proof that they'll lie to us to our face.
It's documented.
It's documented true. I saw it on George Norrie's website in 2009.
That's a real thing. Now, the people that want to deny that that's a real thing, you're doing a disservice for everyone.
Really? Does he even have a concept of what a disservice is? None of this information is like, you know, particularly like, okay, whatever. But the point is that like, when you start to say that the government was just bald-faced lying, like they took the, like they lie so easily, they'll take a obviously Photoshop picture. And you can confirm this because the real picture is in the guy's autobiography or memoir.
He talks about the production of it.
And that's how bold and brazen their lying is to you. So you don't think that they would lie to you about the COVID vaccine?
Or when he says the like 7 straight mass shooters were trans?
It's just, yes, he's just, he does not care.
He knows that things that sort of pique curiosity are good content. That's his only interest in any of this stuff. And he's squatted this for over a decade now of being the curious guy. But he doesn't actually have any interest in it besides the fact that it gets him attention.
But don't you think that somebody would say like, hey, find a different example? Like, wouldn't you like, if you had a shred, like the slightest shred of integrity or the slightest shred of like responsibility, society has, my audience has paid me, you know, through Spotify and other mechanisms, $500 million, maybe more. Don't you feel like at one point during the course of the day, you'd be like, I sort of have a responsibility to hire some schmo. I don't know. I mean,
you mean some spoil sport?
Yeah. Like, hey, dude, I've been saying this for a long time. Will you just go fact check that? Like, before I go and say it on air. Or you might say, hey, I did the show today. Give me a report on every claim I made and just fact check it for me. And just make it like really short. I don't want to have to read, you know, like just give me one line.
That would add a fourth hour to the next
episode. And let me know if there's any patterns to the type of thing that I fall for ideologically.
Like, I mean, what would that cost him? Like, you could probably find somebody in Austin or remotely, even for that matter. You could pay them $60K a year. Yeah, you could pay them $200,000 a year. And
you can eat them and feel them at brian@majority.fm.
And he or she, but Rogan would not notice that $200,000. Like,
it's in his couch cushion.
Honestly, yes. Like, if I leave here with 2 quarters in my pocket and I get home and I'm like, hey, what happened to those 2 quarters I had? Like, it would have to be like, to like a nickel and a dime. That's what it would be like for him. And, but he doesn't care. And maybe he actively is just like, I'm going to spew this stuff and I got the cover. I'm a comedian. Anybody who listens to me needs to have their head checked.
I'm going to go smoke a cigar. You guys figure it out.
All 19 million of you should be listening to me, ironically.
Exactly. And when Spotify paid me the $200 million, they're like, this is a satire. I still can't get to the phones. It's not working for me. Are you guys able to get into it? I'm sorry. I wanted to keep it open today so that we would be able to get to the phone calls. Nope. Huh?
This is Digby quoted this.
Okay.
This is him in response to being questioned about Trump's authority to smoke a boat, as he put it, smoke a drug boat.
This is insane. Look, if it was proven that there were drug dealers on this boat, there is no authority for this. It would be blatantly illegal to summarily execute these people. If it was proven there were drug dealers on this boat going en route to the United States to sell drugs, this would be completely illegal and unauthorized. They were actually going to a different country. If this happened within U.S. waters, it would be completely illegal and unauthorized. They were not in U.S. waters. No, like, this is so far from what the U.S. And here's the amazing thing. All those MFers with their don't tread on me flags, with their Jade Helm is coming. If you have the authority to blow up a boat with no due process and just the explanation that there were drug dealers on there, what makes you think you don't have authority to do anything else?
Ruby Ridge, man.
We blew up a car on the highway. There were drug dealers in there. And if you can find their body parts, you will see that they are exactly who we say they are. But here's Pete Hegseth, worried, I guess, that his day drinking is going to make his eyes look red. But here he is.
So, Secretary, what legal authority did the Pentagon invoke to strike that boat full of drug smugglers?
We have the absolute and complete
Pause it for a second. Absolutely. The question is, what authority does the Pentagon have to strike that boat allegedly full of drug dealers? That's the way you say that. Good.
We have the absolute and complete authority to conduct that. First of all, just the defense of the American people alone. 100,000 Americans were killed each year under the previous administration because of an open border and open drug traffic flow.
Was there an
that is an assault on the American people. I said, we smoked a drug boat, and there's 11 narco terrorists at the bottom of the ocean. And when other people try to do that, they're going to meet the same fate.
Going to try and do what?
Get their product to Don Jr.
It's like, where's that guy from YouTube? Where's Mike Lee? Where's like any of these Republicans with their don't tread on me shit? Do you know what Jade Helm is? Do you guys remember Jade Helm?
Yeah. Obama was
so when Obama was going to occupy Texas with, if you can believe this, the U.S. military.
Take him over, Sharia time.
The Republicans were up in arms about this for a year and a half.
All I can find is Ron Paul is the only one of those don't try me guys who said this is illegal.
It's insane. All right, let's go to the IMs. Ion from Exnola. In New Orleans, the DSA, FRSO, Indivisible, No Ship, No Cop, and many other local organizations are getting prepped to deal with local occupation. The good thing is we also get to study how things went down in L.A. and D.C. so we can be a bit more prepared. We even had some comrades in D.C. to witness the shenanigans, so we're not backing down. Left is best. I love my Max left hat. It gets a lot of good reviews. We have someone on Monday to talk about the rebuilding of New Orleans in the wake of Katrina. We have somebody in studio. Gino's in studio right now, who is in D.C. and you can tell that it's like reports that it's been a crap show down there. Nobody apparently goes downtown. They're talking about the restaurant business. There is like the COVID apocalypse. People just don't want to go down. Anybody but with a beard apparently driving around is stopped. Dylan from Palmdale. It's Freaky Friday, folks. Matt from PA. My partner and I are watching Veep, and I can't help but picture Stephen Miller as the fascist version of Gary. My mom works in the roofing industry. For the past 4 years, she was always saying how busy she was. Now she's complaining no one is building. Guess who she voted for? Hint, not Kamala. Saturn Girl. I'm telling you, Sam, it's not too early to be envisioning a post-Trump MAGA movement. As I've said before, the Trump base will begin to abandon him bit by bit and then actively oppose him in the federal government. I don't think so.
Yeah, I think it's just going to like sort of lose coherence a little bit, but I don't think they're going to abandon him.
I don't think he's going to be abandoned. I think there's one way in which Trump's allure ends, and it is going to be when his physicality ends.
He's embalmed.
Once the federal government is no longer the primary threat, the base will attack the rest of us. You're old enough to be aware of the right-wing militia movement that's been going on since the 1960s. They've been preparing for war for decades. There's a really good book about this by the FBI and former Joe Moore. It's called White Robes and Broken Badges. He details his infiltration of the KKK and other militant white supremacist organizations. These guys have a lot of money to spend on retrofitting their houses to be like bases, buying military-grade vehicles, amassing arsenals of weapons. He also details how entrenched these groups are in local law enforcement. In fact, local law enforcement is poised, along with these groups, to impose local fascism and terrorize local minority groups. We need to be preparing for a post-Trump order now, and it takes organization on the left. You know, this is why, you know, like, I believe that, like, you have to have, like, police forces that are, I don't know, 75%, 100% live in your city. I think that is very, very important.
And if you look, there's been studies on this. Like 10 years ago, Minneapolis was, I mean, one of the worst cities where it was like 3% lived in the city and everyone else was from the white suburbs.
And in New York, I mean, a ton of cops live in Long Island. When I was in Cuba, now 25 years ago, I was told by the folks there that what Castro would do is he would get rural, all of the cops and all of the militia in Havana were from the countryside, and he would bring them in exclusively because of their skepticism, paranoia, alienation from the urban people in Havana. That is that dynamic.
The urban-rural divide.
Yep, is exploited, or you know, urban-suburban divide. And what it would also do is it would also force the city to be more affordable. Like if you can't, if you have like requirements for the people to, you know, run the city, whether it's like working on the trains, working in the fire departments, working it, that they need to be able to live within the city, then you've got to figure out how to make the city affordable. Pete, sinking of the boat off the Venezuelan coast was murder. There's no other word for it. The service members that did that were following unlawful orders. Yep. Geek Mike. Fun with Fascism Fridays. Live Laugh Luigi. The secret camera report is from James O'Keefe Project Veritas. Nothing in that video is evidence of a plan in action, but just the same internet talking points going around with his usual dirty editing. Should it be treated like real news? Should it be treated like real news? I mean, I don't know what should be treated like real news these days, frankly, but I don't think it's not evidence that the DOJ is planning to redact all the conservative Republican names, let the Democratic names. I mean, that would be pretty obvious, I think, if you put out a form that said, like, we've redacted all this, and just coincidentally, all these other names are all Democrats. I suspect the people who want these documents would have a problem with this. But what it is indicative of is an attitude at the DOJ, which we know, that a now sitting judge, Bovey, was at the DOJ saying, we don't have to listen to the judiciary. So we know the attitude of the people at the DOJ in terms of like legality and information. We also know that the president is actively keeping the in whipping votes against the release of the Epstein documents. We know that there's been reporting that the FBI has been told to go through the documents and has found Donald Trump's name in there thousands of times. So is this news? I mean, it is, I think, indicative of one of the top DOJ's officials' attitude towards these documents.
How about his personal lawyer doing the interrogation?
Ghislaine Maxwell. It is news, it seems to me, that a DOJ official is aware that it's against Bureau of Prisons policy to take someone convicted of child trafficking and put them in a low security prison. That to me is news. They're admitting what they've done is against prison Bureau of Prison policy. So that is news.
James O'Keefe has actually produced some of my favorite documentary footage, which is from a video called New Jersey Teachers Gone Wild. But he thought it was bad that the teachers were bashing Chris Christie and calling him a fuck. I thought it was actually pretty cool to see how they actually felt. If you have to take it with a grain of salt, I don't think that guy, like the thing he said about Ghislaine Maxwell being transferred to a lower security as a favor, that is what everyone sort of surmises looking at
it. It's interesting to see a top DOJ official admit that.
Yes.
So, yeah, I would say that's news. Dave from Jamaica. Joe Rogan being good example of right-wing brain. They value personal loyalty over loyalty to an ideal. The only time I've seen Rogan come back down is if he has, if someone has more clout than him. Bill Burr comes to mind. Luke from New Mexico. I'm guessing. Luke from NM. Oh, good. The numbers will just keep getting better and better then. Winning. I don't know. Al Conniption. I think Trump saw Marge's will for power and decided to sideline her during the trial instead of giving her any gasoline and letting her burn brighter down the road, if you will. The Istanbul of Saudi Arabia. Hey, Sam, might be worth reporting the news. The Texas Department of Public Services now requiring English fluency tests for truck drivers. I'm recalling when he had every bunch of produce inspected for drugs at the border and seriously impacted grocery store inflation for a few years ago. Texas Republicans love to play games with our economy because everything else comes a second to big oil money. Brooklyn Best. Anyone going to the Bernie rally on Saturday at Brooklyn College? I want to. Badly. But I am on a... I'm delivering a dog to somebody in Pennsylvania. I don't want to say it.
Sam's a hitman.
Yep. But the Bernie is rallying with Zohran Mamdani Saturday night. And where? Do you know where it is? Where?
Brooklyn College.
Oh, that's where Bernie kicked off his 2020. Or had a big rally there, I think.
I signed up for a ticket and got one, so I'm probably going to go.
I'm jealous.
Maybe I'll interview some people.
Or just get some footage. Live, laugh, Luigi. I can appreciate that take about the Project Veritas. It's just wild seeing Project Veritas going around and being taken at face value. Well, the guy says, I did say that, but I got that all from news reports. Okay. Sean from California. Matt, just watched my first episode of Left Reckoning this morning with Brian as a guest. Loved the whole thing and subscribed.
Cheers.
That Brian bump.
We got the Trump slump and the Brian bump. majority enthusiast. The DOJ just put out a screenshot of that deputy guy's apology excuse for that crazy hidden mic thing. He was on a date and leaked this to his undercover reporter date. Yeah. Oh, by the way, the Gemini missions were, in fact, carried out by two astronauts. In other words, one could have taken a picture, but he didn't. As explained in the person who he was accusing of putting a fake picture out, explained in his book.
He made a cool picture for his grandkids. This is what it would have looked like.
Yeah, he wanted to put it on the cover of the book.
Yeah.
The thing is, Joe would never do that, never put out misinformation for commercial reasons.
I do. The funny thing about the moon landing is fake theory is all of the sort of infrastructure and activity that was done to fake it, like all of those plane rides for training how to do it, that was all just for one photo that you could black out. I don't know if the cost-benefit analysis has really been thought through for those guys.
You don't get it. You don't get it. Tome of Link, happy casual Friday, folks. Here in Britain, Angela Rayner has resigned as deputy prime minister after it came to light that she failed to pay the necessary amount of tax on a house she bought. Rains claims this to be an honest mistake. Her replacement is David Lammy. Also, Nigel Farage has told his party to start preparing for a general election. Charlie Turk, maybe Kristi Noem did look Kim Jong-un in the eye and then went to find some dogs in North Korea to shoot in the face. Equiminicus, wait, what? 23,000 jobs lost since May? Hell, Doge removed 300,000 federal workers alone. First of all, it's net is what we're talking about. But I don't know if those 300,000 federal workers have hit the unemployment rolls yet. Or at least, you know, because I think a lot of those people are still being paid and basically on leave. And we're going to start to see those people hit the unemployment in the coming months. Remember, a lot of that stuff was stopped also by the courts. So there was a lot of federal workers being paid to not come into work.
Waste, fraud,
governmental efficiency.
That's what it's about.
They're going to all just move into making chips. Remember?
STEM stuff.
Yeah. Making the robots for the robot, the manufacturing factories that are all staffed by robots.
I can't wait to find out this ICE raid on this Hyundai plant. On this EV battery plant, I have no doubt the story is going to be like the idea that like they brought in all these Korean nationals and have them like it's like a trafficking thing, right? Like these guys, like they don't have to be like all undocumented, living in like, you know, like in some part of the factory. I have a feeling what it's going to be is they've been brought in on visas. And they have like, we found some discrepancy in the corporate filing. And so we've arrested 350 of these Korean workers who undoubtedly have been brought over from factories in South Korea because they have the knowledge of how to do this particular work and are probably training other workers to the extent that they can find them here in the U.S. That's where we're going with this stuff, though.
Probably helped Tesla, this raid.
Yeah, I was just thinking that.
Elon, thank you for the money. This is my way of saying thank you. People are going to start buying your cars again. Don't worry. We'll have them back at the cat. AI is really interesting because the people who are more likely to believe propaganda, normally Republicans, are going to be the ones who fall for it the most often. They've allowed themselves to suspend their disbelief so often now, they have no ability to discern if something is real or not. Does it affirm their worldview? Then it's real. Yes, that's why AI is irrelevant. This is that Tim Walz thing could have been like, you know, with clip outs from magazine, and he'd go like, I think it's real. Somebody real. Probably replicated it with magazine to hide the fact that he did it. Like, it's just still photos, like a Hockney picture.
Like a Terry Gilliam animation.
Exactly. They did that to hide the fact that it was real. All right, three more. No sleep till... Is that the same Lutnick who saved Howard's life by having kindergarten begin on 9/11? I don't either. Shrimpomania. Have you guys seen the insane pro-ice abundance people? Evil stuff. I haven't.
Yep.
Rondi, a sad face. A bit late, but speaking of vaccines, my favorite way to maliciously interpret Kennedy's Schrodinger's vaccine position is where it's simultaneously great that Trump made the COVID vaccine and the vaccine killed millions of people is that he thinks millions of people died, and that's a great thing.
I think we said that on air.
And the final I am of the day. Daniel from VA, appreciate Brian's on the ground reporting. MR is becoming a real outfit. Bless.
I said maybe. Hold up. Depends on how now many lifted tees I'm going to have before I go there.
Live from the Bernie rally, Zoran Mom.
Yeah, too much lifted tea.
Lifted.
Matt, Brian, Emma in absentia. Gino, great job this week. Folks, we'll see you on Monday.
It might take all the strength I got to get to where I want, but I know somehow I'm going to get there. I wasn't looking when I just got caught.